great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
Welcome to our morning show on WRCO, WRCE. Today we're talking about a fun event here on the first half of the morning show. Tom Vinopal and Terry Filia are in to talk about the Wizards of Rod's fun run that's coming up and all of the related items. This is just a really fun subject. And Tom, good morning to you. I know you're excited to talk about this.
Good morning, Phil. What do you want to know?
Well, you're a founding member of this organization,
yes,
aren't you?
Yes, I'm the only founding member left. We started in 1979, so that's when we started the club. And I think our first show was 80 or 81, and we've been going for 43 years now. So,
my goodness, yeah. What was your first car of choice then when you first became a founding member?
Well, a little history for you. There was five or six of us that were all building vehicles at the same time. Mine's a 1936 Chevy half-ton pickup. I'm the second owner on it, believe it or not.
Is that right? Not many can say that.
My dad knew about when this uncle of his that bought it brand new at the end of 1936 and got all the discounts and whatnot, and he had it for 39 years, and I've had it now, next year will be 50 years, so I've had it longer than the first owner had.
Oh, my goodness. So you still actively take it out and about?
Oh, yes.
Some of the rallies? And
had it over to, we went to a senior living center Sunday, and I just put a different engine in it after all this time. And found out that, it quit smoking, but now it leaks a little bit. So, but yes, it's still active.
They're kind of like humans sometimes, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
So what makes you excited about this year's Wizards of Rod's fun run?
Well, excited. We always hope. Oh. We hope people will show up. We put our flyers out all year round, and we try to get people up there. We have a lot of different activities going on. We always have kids and adult games. Have a poker run. We have a potluck on Saturday night. We have all kinds of things going on. We call it our fun run. So come and have fun.
It's a beautiful cruise to the Warrens area, isn't it?
You can get there. We're about 8 miles north of Toma is where where we're at. So, we started out in Mauston. That's where our P.O. box is. And we were there for 5 years at the fairgrounds. Then we moved over to Linden Station at the Nine Eagles Resort. And we were there 5 years. But there we had four different changes of management in 5 years, so it was like starting all over every year. So somebody suggested we go up to Jellystone in Warrens, and they accepted us, and we thought the grounds were fine. We were there 30 years. And now, 3 years ago, yeah. It was purchased by an investment corporation. And we would generally bring anywhere from 160 to 270 vehicles. They offered us a 40-car parking lot.
Ooh.
Yeah. And so it just did not fit us. So now we're at the Lions Club grounds, which is still in Warrens. It's about 2 miles away, but we're still in Warrens. We've got both sides of the street. Real reasonable camping. You can camp up there for, $50 bucks for the weekend. Yep. You can't beat that anywhere.
No, you really can't. Yeah.
No. So.
And what's been like the best year? Do you remember the highest number of automobiles?
I think the highest number was 274.
Wow.
Yeah. So. And it comes and goes. It depends on what else goes on that weekend, you know. So.
Sure. The enthusiasts, though, they come from all walks of life, don't they?
They do. We've got doctors. We've got high-end cars. We've got low-end rat rods. Everything is welcome. So it's the same price for a vehicle, no matter what you bring up. So.
Well, we hope a lot of people will take that in. Terry, maybe we could go over a little bit of the timeline and things and what will be happening at the Warren's Lions Club coming up.
At the Warren's Lions Club, which is a really good location for us because it's got a nice log cabin building with a commercial kitchen, plenty of camping area. We moved it from near where the log cabin is to across the street where they park the cars for the Cranfest. So we have a nice shaded area that they can get up against. And if the weather's, and if it's not too dry, they can have a campfire and bring a camper, a tent, whatever. And so for the timeline, we start out on Friday going on a fish fry cruise to the American Legion in Toma. And they have a nice meal there for us. And then Saturday is our Dress Vintage Day, our fun day. We have our usual pinup contest and then followed by a beard contest. And there is no entry if some ladies out there want to be in the beauty contest. We just need your background and Tom will interview you. And we give out sashes and crowns and bouquets of flowers to the three runners-up. We also have swap and vendor spots open for the whole weekend, and it's $20 a shot for the whole time. And for something new, we just accepted a vendor that's going to be doing tattoos. And he's from Racine, Wisconsin. He also does tattooing for Mississippi Mayhem Show. And we also have our usual pinstriper, Highway Star. She does a real good job. She has items that she has pinstriped, and then she will pinstripe a vehicle. And then we have a poker run that Tom mentioned, and then at 6 o'clock on Saturday night, we're going to have a potluck. Everybody can get together. We are not having a band this year. But we're going to see if our DJ will play a little bit of music or something for in the evening. And those who want to join the campers, we can sit around a campfire and have s'mores or whatever. And then Sunday is going to be our... Oh, I almost forgot. One of my favorite things. We're going to have flame throwing on Saturday night after dark.
Flame throwing vehicles.
Flame throwing vehicles, cars, trucks. We've even seen tractors in Yuba when the Roosters had their flame throwing.
Okay.
So, yes, that's quite a thing to see.
That is something that you don't see every day, isn't it?
Right.
Those guys with the long beards, you got to stay away from the flames, though, don't you, Tom?
At one point in time, it was a joke that you had to have a facial hair in order to be a wizard.
That's not the case anymore, huh?
No.
Well, I still carry it.
What about Sunday, Terry?
Sunday is going to be our show and shine display day and vote day. Our members will go out and pick their top 25 car, truck, or motorcycle, and we have trophies for that, as well as a plethora of homemade trophies that our members have made. A real close friend of mine made one with most bugs.
Really?
And he had some bugs and some other things on a headlight frame, and so the person that got it thought it was the coolest thing. But we do have that day for people to bring their cars, park them, and then because it's an open show, we don't give out the trophies for all that kind of stuff, you know, like best in class for cars or trucks. We just, what years are the ones we do for the big trophy?
We split it. We have a top 25.
Yeah.
And what we do is we do it as fair as we can. All of the members have a ballot. They pick out their top 25 vehicles. And, of course, you know, you might like a 56 Chevy and so might like a 29 Ford, whatever it happens to be. But eventually you run out of those, so you have to cross over. So the top 25 get voted on. That's how we give our top 25 trophies. And then we always have, I don't know, we don't call it best of show, but it's pre-48 and post-40. Pre-49 and post-48.
Yeah.
What it is, that was the split when NSRA first started, you know, you could only have a rod at that time, pre-48. And the difference is bolt-on fenders versus the quarter panels. That's where they split. So traditionally, we always give two top trophies for that. Whichever gets the most on the pre-49 and whichever gets the most on the post-48. So
that's exciting. I'm sure you probably see new cars every year. I mean, new in terms of new to the show, right?
Oh, every year. It's kind of a debut for some, you know. We always see new things. Last year there was a 50 Mack truck that was street rodded, you know, and diesel has become very popular today. Rat rods, you know, they come and go. But, yeah, they're a little bit of everything. That's the neat thing. You get up there and who's coming this year? Who's coming this year? You know, so...
Do they come from multiple states away as well?
Normally, I think right now my pre-registration is coming. The only ones we've got are from Iowa right now. But we get Minnesota. I've had Michigan. I've had Illinois, Indiana over the years. Just depends. See, we're not up against this year, but a week from now, the back to 50s will be going on up in St. Paul, Minnesota, and that's like 12,000 cars. Well, a lot of these people come from different states. They say, okay, we can camp there for $50 for the week and go on up to Minnesota.
Sure. So, not just a hop, skip, and a jump then when they're done.
Right.
So which one would get your top vote other than your own there? I mean, which one trips your trigger the most, Tom?
Well, I born in 56, I've always liked 56 Chevy convertibles. Ooh. But they're kind of rare to come by. So that would be my top choice. So
right. And Terry, you must be an enthusiast, aren't you, too?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so
I have a 1961 Ford Starliner.
Ooh.
It was my deceased husband's vehicle of choice. He had made plans to go buy one in Georgia back in 2007. He'd passed 2 days before the trip, so the kids and I organized a way to get down there after the funeral and all the arrangements were taken care of, and we went down and bought a Starliner, and I bought 3 parts cars with it so I'd make sure I had parts and left those in Georgia, and
Think there's only about 3,000 built that year.
Yeah. So I think the production was 2,000 and something for 60 and 61.
Wow, real rare then.
Yeah, mine's got a 390 in it with a 5-speed on the floor.
Wow.
And a 6-pack. And
do you ever get any tickets or not?
No.
Okay. Yeah, knock on wood.
And I also owned a 1959 square body T-Bird, but oh. I was in an accident. Man T-boned me and on my way to Yuba for Fire in the Hills 1 year, so I don't have that anymore. It was too badly damaged.
Oh.
And then I have a car that I get ribbed for driving, a 1989 Crown Victoria LTD.
Oh, I think that's what you have today, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
All right. That's got some size to it.
Yeah.
So, I like it. Wizards of Roz Fun Run is coming up Father's Day weekend. I can't think of a better place to take Dad, right, Tom?
Well, that's what I always say, and everybody says, well, we've got other things. We've got family things planned. Bring Dad to a car show. Why not?
Yeah.
You know, he's been always told to bring a kid to a car show. Well, maybe the two of you find some bonding there, you know. So.
And you have little cars there on Sunday, too. Don't you have pedal cars and things like that?
Yeah, we let the kids do their thing, decorating up their bikes, their pedal cars, strollers, whatever. It's free registration. They can just get that done. And like I mentioned, Sunday is our trophy day, and it takes some time for us to get through that. And it's always fun to see the people get their trophies. And there was one fellow who came up when we were still at Jellystone. It was a cool morning. He came up in a rat rod. And rat rods don't usually have heaters or windows. And he had this fur-lined leather hat with the ear flaps on it. And he got out, and I could tell he was cold. And it just struck me the tenacity of some people, you know, to their commitment to coming to a show. So he got I had made a trophy that year for the best rat rod. And so I gave that to him. And then years later, he recognized me when I was at that gas station by Westby. And he said, I remember you. You gave me the trophy. And I said, yeah. I said, how are you doing? And he said, well, my family's grown. I had to sell the engine out of my rat rod to put a down payment on building a house. And he said, but I'm still working on it. So it's amazing the connections you make with people that you meet at the car shows and cruisings.
Anybody ever bring any station wagons? I mean, those are kind of rare, too, aren't they?
They are. They're rare. Occasionally we see one.
I saw one.
Matter of fact, last year, the guy up in Black River Falls brought a red 64 Chevelle station wagon. He took one of the trophies that year.
That would be pretty rare, too, yeah. I would think. So.
And it was nice.
Do you know why there are not a lot of the larger cars anymore?
No.
Because they made good demolition derbies.
Oh, sure.
Vehicles.
They were a little heavier and, stronger frame and things, I suppose.
Yeah,
interesting. Terry, I know you have a lot of sponsors that make this all happen. Would you like to recognize some today?
Yes, I would. We have some sponsors that have been answering my request to sponsor a trophy for several years now. The local ones, for everybody, it's $40 to sponsor a trophy. And what we do is the trophy place in Toma will do the trophies for us, and then we put a postcard on the bottom of it so that when the person gets their trophy, they can send, it's prepaid postage, send a thank you to the sponsor for their trophy. But anyway, of course, WRCO Radio, WCCU Credit Union, Jones Chevrolet, Philback Ford, Wagner Auto Service, L&M Salvage, which I felt would be a good sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
Olson Family Vision, RC Taco, one of our newer ones, Dr. Joseph Rundell from Richland Hospital, Pioneer Print Company, Town & Country TV and Appliance, Newton's Auto Restoration, they bought two trophies as usual, D&J Repair Auto and Cycle, now we're getting into Muscadet, Coon Valley, the sponsor there is Coon Creek Customs, Toma area, we have several, Lawrence Auto Body, Jurash Auto Repair, VIP Realty, American Family Insurance, Jeremy Hedeman, Eastside Auto Sales, Toma Granite Company, Rick Certified Auto of Toma, Don's Auto and Truck Center, Holthouse Insurance and Financial Services, State Farm. In La Crosse, we have Correll Standard of Excellence, LLC. La Crescent, Minnesota, TJ's Auto Glass. Marshfield, Wisconsin, McMillan Rod and Custom. And then Mcheski Park, Illinois, Instrument Services Incorporated.
A good number of them, it sounds like.
Yep.
Yeah, it sounds like it takes a lot to put this on every year. So, featured vehicles this year, Tom. I know there's a couple on your poster.
Patty Hartley. She owns the 47, Buick Roadmaster. Yeah. It had some transmission problems last year at the end of the year. They got that fixed. That will be at the show. And then Charlene Molitor. She's got a 59 Chevy Apache, which is kind of a rare car in itself. All of those vehicles are upwards of $30,000 if you want to buy them on the straight market, So,
and they come all of the cars, I think, in different forms. Some are restored, some are, not.
That's correct. I also have a '60 Chevy, and it's a mild custom. I've got Cadillac taillights and a Continental kit on it, lake pipes. I just got a 60 Cadillac grill that I haven't got installed yet, but will be before shortly. So,
yeah, the Johnny Cash song "One Piece at a Time" kind of came to mind when you were talking about that.
And some of them do. Some of the rat rods, they have lots of things on them that probably shouldn't be.
It makes it fun, I'm sure.
It does. Yeah. It makes for an interesting weekend.
Terry, you have other events, not just the Wizards of Rods Father's Day weekend, but you kind of do some things throughout the whole year, don't you?
Yeah. there's the story behind each thing. It's usually a member who was interested that wanted to promote the custom car culture in some way. I don't know how it began, but in Boston, there's a place called the Dairy Isle. They have this huge ice cream cone in front of the restaurant, and our club sponsors a summer cruise night, and that's the fourth Sunday of the month. And if you bring your classic, no matter what kind it is, car, truck, or motorcycle, you get a free ice cream treat, as well as, you know, they have a nice menu. And we just sit out and talk about cars or whatever. And then the girls that are serving the food, they're the judges. They get to choose their vehicle of choice. And we have a couple of members who make the trophies. And then the person that wins goes home with the trophy.
That's super. So the next one's coming up on June 23rd, it looks like.
That's correct.
Yeah. So anybody can get involved in that. Again, a Sunday, nice Sunday afternoon drive, then, it sounds mm-hmm. like.
Sure. Get your ice cream.
Yeah, get the ice cream.
Come and go as you please.
Yeah.
And you have something in the fall as well, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, that's one of our last things that we do as a club. We have monthly meetings on the third Saturday of the month to take care of business. But the Fall Color Cruise this year is October 13th. And it's usually Tom and one of our other members will go out and map the route for about a 100-mile cruise. And you can come, you can bring your classic if you want, or you can bring your daily driver and just join in. And we have a few stops along the way. And then when we get to our destination, we'll all stay at a restaurant and have lunch together.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
And the donations this year are going to be going to Veterans Honor Flight. One of our members was asked to go on the flight last year, and he told us about it. He said that was one of the best welcomes that he had, you know, to thank him for his service. A lot of the Vietnam vets, which he was, they didn't get that when they came back home.
Yeah. Very nice. Tom, are you finding that there are younger people getting enthusiastic about it, or is it kind of like a lot of hobbies where maybe it's an aging population?
We're afraid.
Yeah.
we're aging out. And, you know, the government is trying to regulate these electric vehicles. Most of ours are gas, you know, and we grew up with them, but we're not as young as we used to be.
Yeah, I'm just wondering because I know old tractors a little bit, and sometimes it's what you grew up with, and that, right. and I think it's kind of like that a little bit with cars too, isn't it?
It is. For instance, when I got involved, I think the NSRA, National Street Rod Association, started in 1970, and they went back to 1948 for their collector cars, whatever they put in. At that time, you know, 67, 68 Camaros were 3 years old. Well, now they're 40, 50 some years old. And I can see whereas the other ones, the pre-48, that was only 22 years. Now, I can see where the younger people think that's an old car, but I grew up with it. It's still a new car to me.
Sure.
So.
And what about finding parts? Does that become more difficult or not?
If you can't find anything at your local auto parts store, there's swap meets. We were at one in Dubuque here earlier. My son has purchased a 59 Cadillac, and he got some parts down there reasonably. But there's a lot of things that are made now, you know. Some of them might be China, but you know, they're made, they're repopped now. So
if you need it, you need it.
Yep,
right,
that's
so
right,
go with it. So I presume you're in the beard contest too, are you?
No.
You're not?
Nope, that's one thing that none of the trophies, none of the awards stay with the club,
right?
You know, we invite people, we're there to promote our event by bringing people in and sharing everything with them. We're kind of we bring enthusiasts together.
Yeah. Networking and communication with each other.
Sure. Well, that's a fair way to do it then. It really is. What's your favorite part of the weekend, Terry?
Working registration and seeing all the people come in.
Okay.
We have gatekeepers now that collect the money at the gate. And then the people come up with their sheet, and sign up their, sign their name for the liability and so forth, and then we get to give them their goodie bags, their dash plaques, and just seeing people over again, and then new people coming in. Somebody that I gave a flyer to 6 months ago, you know, and I see him walk through the door, it's like, yes.
It worked.
It worked.
Well, if people are hearing this, what's the best way to find out more information or register? Do you have to pre-register, or can you just...
Well, today's the last day you can pre-register. You get it in the mail, because we've got to sort things out and get ready. We're having a meeting this coming weekend.
Sunday, and we're going to stuff goodie bags.
Okay.
Yep, so that'll be the last day to pre-register, but it's always good to pre-register. That way, we have some pre-registration prizes. And if you pre-register, you not only save $5 on your registration, you also have a chance to win some select prizes. So we try to get people to pre-register.
Okay, but they can still...
Oh, yes,
come in. You can show up.
Walk in, just you bet.
Show up.
Or and then, drive in. I should say drive in.
Yeah.
And you can just do it for the day? Like if you just could only come Saturday, you can just show up?
And $12 a day, $18 for the weekend. Mm-hmm. And then,
Well, the pre-registration
the weekend's
is,
20.
Yeah, pre-registration's 15. So.
Yeah, which ends today.
Boy, that's real reasonable.
Yeah, and then $50 to camp for the weekend.
And that's reasonable, too. Try getting a hotel room.
Exactly.
A little bit more money than that. So.
It's primitive. Got to admit that. There's no water or electric, but it's $50 camping.
I presume some might even pull a camper behind, right?
They do.
And we've seen some vintage campers, some nice ones.
Yeah. Those are awesome. Yeah. Yes, indeed.
As a matter of fact, we've split our camping up this year, both a vintage area and a more modern area. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. Anything else either you'd like to add about that upcoming weekend?
Well, come Saturday, we've got all kinds of games and fun, and I like the pinup contest. It took me quite a while to get it, and I think this is our 8th or 9th pinup contest. And, you know, a lot of people think, oh, that's like a wet T-shirt contest at a biker show. No, it's not. It's elegant. The girls dress up. They look excellent. All their makeup, their favorite hairdos. It was designed originally for our veterans in World War II. Yank magazine would put a pinup in every month and send it to our veterans out in, well, at that time they were our GIs. A lot of people don't know it, but Lucille Ball was in it one time. So, you know, there's it's not sleazy.
So vintage clothing?
Perhaps? Vintage clothing. We have some vintage vendors coming up this year. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, that's awesome. That's on Saturday as well. So.
Yeah.
Great. It's been fun to learn about it. We hope that it goes well. We'll keep reading a good forecast, because at this point, the extended forecast is pretty good for that weekend.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
Let's hope so.
Keep your fingers crossed.
And we are also collecting pull tabs. We saved those for Ronald McDonald House.
Oh.
And you can bring them in a Ziploc bag or a 5-gallon bucket, whatever amount you've collected. And we fill 55-gallon drums that we donate to Ronald McDonald House when we have a nice collection. And then they, of course, can take them to a recycling place and cash them in for the aluminum. But that's something that we've done ever since I've been a member. And there were last year we had a little battle between a couple of clubs, and they said, well, if you have more than we do, we will put $500 on the 55-gallon drum that you fill.
Wow.
And I think it was, $1,800?
We had 12 full 55-gallon barrels 2 years ago.
My goodness. Yep. A lot of good was done then, wasn't
That's
it?
Right.
Yes.
Wow.
And I have little spinner things that I give away that you can just watch the tab spin around. I saw it at the Holy Colin Union Center. The Roosters Car Club had them made. So now I have some made that I give away to people just to remind them to save those pull tabs.
Oh, wonderful. Wizards of Rods, cruising and camping through the decades, Father's Day weekend, June 14th, 15th, and 16th. Thanks for coming in, you two.
Thank you.
It's all right.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Say, you've got a milestone coming up, don't you?
I do.
Yeah, haven't you been announcing for a long time?
Yeah, well, 38 years or so.
Well, I've got something for you.
You do? Oh, thank you. My goodness. Oh, should I unwrap it on
air? Yes, go right ahead. You do that. All right. Unwrap it on air.
Make a lot of noise.
I got this idea a while back that you said you didn't have a gold record trail wall.
Oh, my goodness, Tom. That is awesome. A gold record. Those were the days, WRCO labeled by DJ Filney. That is awesome. I'll have to pound a new nail in the wall.
That's all right. You do whatever you want with it.
Thank you. That's my first gold record.
I knew it would be.
Thank you very much. More of the morning show is coming up in a moment.
At a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
News Time is sponsored by Court & Main Furniture & Mattress, helping you create the home you can't wait to come home to. The forecast for today calls for a high of 70 with blustery winds, cooler than normal. And again, you guessed it, an isolated shower possible late afternoon or early evening tonight. In Richland Center, it is sunny and 59 degrees.
Here at A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet, we want to make the transition as easy as possible. Whether you are moving into assisted living, downsizing, or looking for a change, we got it. We are willing to work around your schedule. We offer delivery, setup, and disposal. We carry a variety of comfortable and functional pieces to fit everyone's needs, such as lift chairs, adjustable beds, and more. Stop into A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet to make your transition easier. Open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturdays, 9 to noon.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I am Phil Nee. Here is what you need to know. Staff arrests are made in connection with inmate deaths at a troubled state prison. Sauk County Sheriff Dale Schmidt announced the arrests of 9 staff at Waupun Correctional, including Randall Hepp, the former Waupun Correctional Institution warden who recently resigned. Hepp and the others arrested made initial court appearances on Wednesday on charges of misconduct and abuse in the deaths of 2 of 4 men who died at Waupun between June of last year and this past February. At a nearly hour-long press conference Wednesday, Schmidt noted the official State Department of Corrections language for inmates is persons in our care. He said he was angered by how the 4 men were treated and how they died and said they were not cared for. At approximately 10:05 on Wednesday morning, the Richland Center Fire Department was dispatched to the 24,000 block of State Highway 58 for a report of a propane leak. Upon arrival, fire crews located a natural gas service line near a residence had been struck by a contractor performing groundwork. Due to the nature of the leak, varying wind conditions, and unknown when the utility service provider would arrive, the immediate area was evacuated with the assistance of the Richland County Sheriff's Office. Evacuations included private residences, a daycare, and a few faculty members at Ithaca High School. Due to the scope of the incident, Richland County Emergency Management also responded. Richland County Ambulance Service responded to establish a reunification point for families of the daycare students that were evacuated. Upon arrival of the utility service provider, crews located low-level natural gas readings in the storm drains directly across from the broken service line. The leak was mitigated by the utility service provider around 11:45. All structures in the area were assessed for the presence of natural gas, and one residence was ventilated due to low-level readings. The storm drain system was also ventilated. A third assessment for gas readings found no natural gas present in the area structures or storm drain. The area was deemed safe and under control around 12:20 yesterday afternoon, and all responding units cleared. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers had a public hearing in Ashland this week on Enbridge's application to relocate a 12-mile segment of Line 5 and build a new 41-mile segment outside lands of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa. The proposal comes after a federal judge ruled in 2022 Enbridge had illegally trespassed on the tribe's northern Wisconsin reservation. The decision is now on appeal before the U.S. Court of Appeals. tribal leaders and environmental activists argue not building the line will protect the region's waters, while business groups maintain the project will provide employment and access to reliable energy. Some passionate comments from Tommy Thompson regarding the future of Milwaukee public schools. At the Milwaukee Press Club on Wednesday, the former Republican governor called for breaking MPS up into four smaller districts. He said the district is facing an emergency and that a blue ribbon commission should tackle the issue with the participation of Mayor Cavalier Johnson and County Executive David Crowley. Thompson's comments came just days after the resignation of MPS Superintendent Keith Posley. In addition, MPS Comptroller Alfredo Balmosda has departed, although it's not clear whether he was fired or he resigned. The National Weather Service now confirms an EF1 tornado touched down east of Mount Horeb on May 21st. There's no word as to why the confirmation took so long. It was a part of a strong storm that swept across southern Wisconsin that day. The latest twister is the 24th to hit Wisconsin so far this year. Meet the candidates for the 3rd Congressional District. The 3rd District is currently represented by Derek Van Orden. Economic Equity Now of Richland County will offer its third opportunity to meet and talk with a candidate for the Congressional District by hosting Eric Wilson. Economic Equity Now believes that information is the key to making the choices that will produce a healthy and vibrant community. The question and answer session will feature Eric Wilson. That'll be held tonight, starting at 5:30 at the Phoenix Center in Richland Center. Economic Equity Now has hosted Rebecca Cook and Katrina Shankland and has reached out to Derek Van Orden. Van Orden has not yet confirmed a date. And a partnership more than a century strong will continue June 8th as Janelle and Merlin Zitzner lead the Big Top Parade in Baraboo as Grand Marshals. The couple are longtime supporters of the parade. They will lead the parade through the streets of downtown Baraboo, waving to thousands of onlookers. Three celebrity judges will face the task of choosing the top entries in Baraboo's Big Top Parade this Saturday. Miss Wisconsin's teen Trinity Horseman, NBC 15 anchor Gabriella Rusk, and Ho-Chunk Nation legislator Representative Christine K. White Eagle will lead the parade before being dropped off at the judges' stand for the official duties. The Big Top Parade will step off in Baraboo at 11 Saturday. This year's parade will share the blast-off theme adopted for this summer's Big Top show at Circus World. All in the parade, including the judges, will be encouraged to sport space-age costumes.
Feeling saucy? Come down to A&W and dip a juicy 5-piece hand-breaded chicken tender combo into our new spicy 3-pepper fire sauce or our new savory A&W sauce. Dip into A&W and try them today.
Always made fresh root beer, always at A&W. Your A&W restaurant is located on Highway 61 in Boscobel. Stop by and enjoy.
Participating restaurants, prices may vary, tax extra.
Partly sunny for today, blustery winds, and cooler than normal. Isolated showers could happen again late afternoon, early evening. A high of 70 today, 50 tonight. Friday, partly cloudy and slightly warmer, still breezy, and a high of 74. Saturday, 72, rain likely through late morning that day. Northwest winds are at 3, and currently we're at 59 degrees.
Hi, Missy. How are you?
Oh, hey, I'm great. We just got Bug Tussle Internet installed at our house today.
Bug Tussle?
Yes, Bug Tussle. They're a Wisconsin-based internet provider that's committed to providing internet to many of our rural areas.
That's amazing.
It really is. And it's only $45 a month. Plus, they have local customer service if you need help.
Sounds perfect.
Hurry. Offer ends June 30th. Details available at btussle.com. That's btussel.com. Your neighbor has Bug Tussle. You should too.
Looking for a rewarding job opportunity? The House on the Rock Resort in Rural Spring Green is hiring for multiple hotel housekeeping positions. They have openings for just Sundays, weekends, and part-time positions, offering up to 5 shifts a week. Applicants age 16 and up are welcome to apply. To join the team, call 608-935-3639 extension 1201 or print an application at thehouseontherock.com. Don't miss out on this chance to work in a beautiful resort setting.
Sports Time is sponsored by Simon's Recreation Complex. Dive into greater community and healthier living. And by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. Coming up, some notes on softball postseason and some postseason accolades. And the Brewers lose, and in fact, were swept in the city of brotherly love.
LS Tractors are a great tractor at a great price. Hi, this is Rick from the Homesteader Store. Let an LS Tractor do all those jobs that need to get done. They make tractors from 21 to 101 horsepower. These excellent tractors have hydrostatic transmissions for ease of use. They come with loaders, 3 points, and PTOs to power any attachments. LS has great long-term financing. I would invite you to our indoor showroom at the Homesteader Store, Highway 14 East Richland Center, or at homesteaderstore.com.
The 48th WIAA State Softball Tournament will get underway today at Goodman Diamond on the University of Wisconsin campus in Madison. And it's quarterfinal Division I action beginning at 8 this morning when Kenosha Bradford plays Cedarburg. Later today at around 10, Sun Prairie East and Watertown. Around noon, Kaukauna and Hamilton and Milton and New Richmond face off at 2. And then this afternoon, it's Division IV action. Around 4:30, Fall Creek plays Coleman, and Cuba City will tangle with Auburndale around 6 o'clock. Championship games in all five divisions will be played on Saturday. Division V will actually start tonight with Game 1, Oakfield and Thorpe. And then tomorrow morning at 8, they'll play the second semifinal when Pacelli meets Assumption. Southwest Conference All-Conference softball teams have been announced. Prairie du Chien won the league, going 8-2 this year. River Valley was second at 7-3. River Valley has two players on the first-team All-Conference, Lydia Willoughby and Tessa Schluter, both juniors. Richland Center's Carly Meaden is a first-teamer. Second-team members include, from River Valley, Lexi DeVinny, Brooklyn Stokes, and Leah Makarowski. On the honorable mention list, River Valley's Hannah Hegland and Richland Center's Riley Schultz and Chloe Darling. Player of the Year was Scout Hall of Prairie du Chien. Co-coaches of the Year, Liz Steiner Hall of Prairie du Chien and Jane Briel, River Valley. Aaron Nola and two relievers shut out the Brewers on three hits Wednesday afternoon, completing a sweep of the three-game series. The Phillies won 2-0. Milwaukee will have a day to think about it, then start a weekend series at Detroit. Nick Castellanos, whose 10th-inning double gave his team a walk-off win Tuesday, slammed a two-run home run to provide all the runs the next day. Aaron Ashby absorbed his second loss. Pat Murphy admits they are real close to these very good teams.
Every game could have went either way. Taking these on the chin here against best record in the National League, hopefully that sits in the right place for these guys and they understand, hey, we're right there.
The team has placed left-handed starter Robert Gasser on the 15-day injured list with a left flexor strain. Elsewhere in the National League, the Mets over Washington 9-1, Cincinnati 12-7 over Colorado, San Francisco 9, Arizona 3, Pittsburgh 10-6 over the Dodgers. In the American League, Kansas City at Cleveland was postponed. Toronto 3, Baltimore 2, the Yankees 9-5 over Minnesota, Texas 9, Detroit 1, and Oakland 2-1 over Seattle. Interleague play saw Boston get the win against Atlanta 9-0, St. Louis 4, Houston 2, Tampa Bay 5-3 over Miami, the Cubs 7, White Sox 6, and the Angels 3-2 against San Diego. Elsewhere in sports, Badgers right tackle Riley Mullman is rated as one of the best college linemen in the country by Pro Football Focus. Mullman played as a redshirt sophomore last season. The 6'8" athlete was rated the 7th most valuable offensive tackle in the country for the 23 season. He's ranked high for both pass and run blocking. He was eventually named to the PFF's All-Big Ten team. He is ranked the number 8 offensive lineman coming into the 2024 season. Wide receiver Bo Melton is busy earning a permanent roster spot with the Packers after coming out of nowhere last season. Melton was signed off the Seahawks practice squad in 2022, but only played 2 snaps before emerging in the final 3 games last season. He caught 16 passes for 218 yards and a touchdown, then caught another scoring pass in the playoffs against the 49ers. His coach has noticed. Matt LaFleur talks about Melton's disciplined approach and how he is consistent on a daily basis. And the Dallas Mavericks and the Boston Celtics prepare to tip off the NBA Finals as they get set for the action to get underway tonight. It's a best of seven, and they're hoping that it goes to the wire, because the networks like that when the series go a little bit further. First game starting out in Boston. And that's an update on sports for Thursday morning. I'm Phil Nee.
Which group do you belong to? The 20% or the 80%? 20% of people exercise regularly, and 80% don't. Hi, this is Tracy. Letting you know, whichever group you belong to, Simon's Recreation Complex has an activity that can get you moving. We aim to make exercise fun. Do you like exercising in a group? We have both land and water instructor-led exercise classes. Do you prefer to work out by yourself? Our exercise rooms are available 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to our boarding show studios in WRCO and WRCE. At this time, we're going to introduce you to someone you're going to be hearing a little bit more of this year as we approach the Richland County Fair in September. Lyrica Marks, who is the Fair and Recycling Coordinator, comes to the studio today to talk about the many events. I guess, Lyrica, it is that time of year again, isn't it?
It is, and I am very excited.
So you took over the post. How long have you been on the job?
My first official day was March 11th, so about 2-3 months ago, which is kind of crazy to believe. So yeah, it's been a fun time.
So tell me a little bit about your history. Did you grow up in the area?
I grew up over in the Gays Mills area. I currently live in Berryville now, but I still consider myself, you know, part of the Richland County now. I went to school for design and marketing, which is how I got into this position, and I absolutely love it so far. It's a phenomenal job for myself, and I've been enjoying it a lot.
Growing up, you actually shopped in this direction, came to this area, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I used to come to like the Walmart and stuff with my mom when I was younger. We used to go get KFC, Taco Bell. So I did come here quite often. So when I saw the position open up, it was not anything too crazy. My mom kind of questioned why I would be willing to drive an hour every day for work, but for me, it was nothing.
So far it's been a fun gig for you then.
I have absolutely loved it.
And you're coordinating a lot of things, and you're having a timely visit because, you want to get the word out. June 15th is kind of an important date,
yep,
isn't it?
So June 15th, we actually do have our fair entries opening up for the Richland County Fair. But with that, we do have the avian flu going around in dairy cattle right now. So that's going to be creating some hurdles for us. We aren't quite sure where that is going to go or how that's going to look this year, because it is still about 3 months out. So as things continue, things could rapidly change. We're going a lot through DATCAP with that, and because that's going to be our main source for the most updated information. However, right now, like I said, things could rapidly change. That's about as much information as I have on that.
So it'll be kind of like a week by week thing where you're just going to have to kind of pay
attention. Basically, I do get emails every week from DATCAP giving me the update, but right now, like I said, it's 3 months away. Things are rapidly changing, and for the state of Wisconsin, they aren't quite sure what it's going to look like. I am in talks with the vet in the area who is giving me those updates as she gets them. But like she said, right now it's just unknown. We wish we had more of an update, but it could go anywhere.
And I'm sure you're going to be following other county fairs in the state to see how they're handling it as well, aren't
Very
you?
Much so. I actually have been speaking with the Crawford County Fairgrounds Coordinator, and so me and her are going back and forth a bit on notes for things going on with that. But
yeah, well, we'll and certainly keep us posted, too, so we can get the word out as well. Some of the things you're working on, can you tell us anything about entertainment?
So I am actually very excited for entertainment. In years past, I know that we've had things such as the tractor pull, the demo derby and such, and we're trying to incorporate a lot of years past things, keep the tradition going, but we're also taking a turn and trying to bring in new things, new ideas. So I do know that we will for sure have the tractor pull, which will be the Southwest pullers again. And then with that, we will also be having our pedal pull. We will have a lot of our kids' entertainment. We're having the Blue Artist return, which a lot of people are very excited about. And then we are looking at having a concert come this year. The person is still in the works, but it's something that I am very excited and looking forward to.
Oh, that's awesome. What night would that be? Can you tell us that?
That would be September 7th, which is the Saturday night. And then the tractor pull will be on that Friday night beforehand, which is the 6th.
So still in the works, and we got to stay tuned for more about that then.
Oh, yes, 100%. I am very excited for that.
Well, you certainly couldn't do it without your sponsors, could you?
No, not at all. I am very much, very thankful for the sponsors that we have received so far. I've been very much trying to connect with each individual business, each person in the area. I've been going in and out of every business in this town, introducing myself, reaching out. And we have received a few sponsorships, which I am very, very excited about. However, if people like are still interested, they are also welcome to come to me. We appreciate any little thing. And that's what makes the fair possible. That's what makes our entertainment possible. And yeah.
It seemed like last year, and I know you weren't involved last year, but it seemed like numbers were coming back. You know, everybody was kind of saddled a little bit with the COVID years and things like that. But I think we're kind of getting back to attendance being pretty good for county fairs, aren't we?
Yes, we are. I know that they have been increasing again, which is very exciting. And hopefully with this new turn that we're taking with the concert and our new ideas along with our traditional things, hopefully that keeps the crowds coming and that keeps everybody involved and keeps allowing friends and family to make memories.
Could you use some volunteers?
Oh, 100%. I would love volunteers. If anybody is interested in volunteering, they are welcome to come to the fair office or shoot me an email. We are always looking for volunteers. Great way to connect, great way to build community. I want the fair to be a big community-based event.
Lots of times with young people, it looks good on the resume or for volunteer hours, too, doesn't it?
Oh, 100%. And realistically, we can find a job anywhere for any volunteer, whether it's photography or helping us set things up, or if they're just looking for experience in something, they can come talk to me. And if they're interested, I will do my best to find a place.
Did you show at county fairs when you were growing up?
I actually did not. However, I do have a lot of friends and other close relations to me that did. I actually used to I grew up going to Virginia every summer, which was an entirely different fair experience. So I did not experience a whole lot of the Wisconsin fairs up until my more recent years. But now I love going around to all the county fairs that I can, and especially going around and looking at all the animals and then seeing all the hard work that each person who is showing is doing because they dedicate so much time to it. I was actually lucky enough to go to one of the 4-H meetings and meet them a bit, see and hear things that they have going on, which I am very thankful to have been able to do that and meet them because it completely blew my mind with how much time they give to what they are truly dedicated to. And so with the fair, I want to be able to really show that as well.
Very important for those 4-H kids all the way through. It's that's kind of the spotlight of the whole weekend, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, 100%. The fair is, when I was learning and starting this position, was very much emphasized that the fair is based around the idea of the 4-H and being able to show who they are and what they are dedicated to. And then with the entertainment and everything, that's just to bring in more people to show those and get that out and give those young children, teens, all of them, the chance to show what they are proud of.
The other part of your title is recycling coordinator. You've been involved in that. You had a cleanup day not too long ago.
I was going to say, we did do the cleanup day. That part of my position, I am still getting into a bit more. I've been very fair focused since coming into the position. So that's been where a lot of my focus has been. However, I ended up going to the cleanup event and helping out with that a bit. Hopefully by next year I will be taking over on that. But that's something that is still in the works, still figuring that out as we go, just as I do with everything else every day.
Sure. Because you had just recently taken over when you had the first cleanup day. So.
Yep, very, very much. It was about a month and a half afterwards. So.
A learning experience then, wasn't it?
Oh, very much, but I've been enjoying it every step of the way.
Great. Tell us about fair books then for the upcoming Richland County Fair.
So the fair books for this year are actually the exact same ones from last year. Last year's fair books were a two-year fair book. That's how we usually try to keep them. So there aren't any changes. Most of the people who got one of the fair books last year were told to hold on to those just because we weren't making any changes. However, somebody needs one, for whatever reason, we do have some extra copies in the fairgrounds office, which they are welcome to come and grab.
How much online? I mean, you can do a lot of things and find it out. Do you have a website that people can go to?
We do have a website. We also have our Facebook, which is where I do a lot of our updates through. And I have recently taken that over, so hopefully there will be a lot more activity on there. I am trying to post as things go. I'm trying to post our sponsors, our opportunities, the entertainment as we figure that out, all of our vendors who will be returning, plus the new ones that we have coming, and all of our updates as we hear them, I will be posting. So yeah, if anybody wants any updates, they are welcome to go follow our Facebook page.
So let's look down the road here. Goals you have in mind? I mean, you just can't snap your fingers and say, you know, the Rolling Stones are coming or something like that. But I mean, what kind of goals do you have in terms of the fair for the future?
In the future, I really want to build more community. It is a big goal of mine, and bring more people in and give them those experiences and those memories. So as I keep going, that's my focus and how to get there. I'm always open, always, to suggestions and things people want to see, because I do think it's a balance of tradition, but also moving forward as time changes. And like you said, a few years ago were the COVID years, things obviously took a change after that, took a turn. And so being able to adapt to changes like that and then going with it as that goes. But I do want new ideas. I want to bring in new things. I want to bring in new people and give more people that experience to show who they are, while also having those memories and being able to express themselves.
How often does the fair board meet?
Our fair board meets once a month. It's always the fourth Wednesday of the month. So that should be coming up. I don't know the exact date off the top of my head, but it is the fourth Wednesday.
So it'll be coming up. So people are welcome to attend there, too, if they
Yes, 100%. I would absolutely love if people were to show up. Like I said, I just recently started this position. I am still learning, and I would love to hear community opinions. I know that some people were talking about how the schools are closing now on those Fridays of the fair for the fair. So that's something that we have been in the discussion of, is to what to do like with those changes. And so like, I would love to hear community opinion. I would love people to come show up and tell me what they would like to see, tell me things that they would like to see change or new ideas that they have.
Yeah, wonderful. Input is very good, isn't it?
Oh, very much. It's what keeps us going.
It's the community's fair, basically, yeah. The county's fair. What about posters? Are they going to be up soon?
So I am hoping that those will be up by the end of this month. I just have to solidify all of our entertainment by this point. Otherwise, most of the schedule is set. So hopefully by the end of this month, we will get those up and going so that we can advertise and get everybody excited. And I will say that we do have a fair theme for this year, which is Oh, the Places You'll Show, going off the Dr. Seuss book, which I'm very excited about.
That's a great title.
Oh, yes.
I like that.
Very excited. We were discussing it, and we all agreed that it's something that both children and families will love based off of the familiar Dr. Seuss title that will bring even the older generations back to their roots and their childhood from when they were into that.
Yeah, the magical time of going to the fair.
Oh, 100%.
So, it's been really nice to meet you. I know we're going to be talking more to you here as we approach the Richland County Fair. But again, you want to get out the word that June 15th is kind of a key date for you, isn't it?
Oh, yes, 100%. Like I said, June 15th is the day our fair entries do open up. So we do want people to be aware that they do close on August 1st. So get their entries in within that time period, and they're set. We look forward to seeing everybody, too.
And the fair is coming up the same weekend as normal?
September 4th through the 8th is the fair dates this year. So it will be that Wednesday through that Sunday.
And hope and pray for good weather then, too.
Oh, 100%, yes.
We've had a little rain early on. Now, normally things average out, so it may be dry by that time. You never know.
Hopefully.
So.
Hopefully it will be at least a few dry days for the events we have planned.
We hope so. And the crops hopefully will be looking good. And you know,
oh, yes.
Show and everything else. So, well, very nice to meet you, Lyrica. Good luck with your new position, too.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me today.
Lyrica Marks, Fair and Recycling Coordinator for Richland County, as we look at the Richland County Fair coming up in just a few months.
Many people aren't aware that Richland County has an organization similar to Big Brothers Big Sisters. For 35 years, Kinship of Richland County has made hundreds of matches between carefully screened adults and local children who need some extra attention. I'm Michelle Nolan-Karras, the Director of Kinship. Occasionally, relationships don't work out, but it's amazing how often they do. Having a mentor can improve a child's self-confidence and help them succeed at school and in life. The mentor benefits from these matches, too. Often they last for years and continue into adulthood. If you would like to become a volunteer or refer a child, please contact us at 608-475-2886 or email us at kinshiprc@gmail.com. Donations to Kinship can be mailed to P.O. Box 51, Richland Center, Wisconsin. Your gift is tax deductible and much appreciated.
He was going in to do something, so watch this gate. We'll leave it open so that the cows don't get out. Well, of course, ladies.